finishing a series, so you're catching the end of it, but I think it's great. It's called Imagine This, and it's small stories that Jesus told that had a really big impact on the people who heard it. And we've been invited by these stories to see differently, think differently, feel differently, really to understand the heart of God differently and to come close to Him. Today, the parable is really spiritual, but I think it's also really very practical. And I think it's the kind of thing that could be very helpful to you, no matter where you are in your journey of faith right now. And so we're going to look at one more parable today. Let me start with this, though. How many of you would admit that you are a better starter than you are a sticker? In other words, starting a thing is not a problem for you. You're really good at that. But staying with it, that can be a challenge at times. Are you like that? Most of us are like that in some ways. Like maybe you got to the restaurant, you're on the new plan, so you ordered the salad, and it was great. It was delicious. You feel good. But then the dessert menu is handed to you, and they've got chocolate mousse. And, you know, I'm not a sweets guy, but if there's chocolate mousse, it's good for the soul, right? You started the workout plan, but then you got busy. Or you started the Bible, reading it through the year plan, and then you got to Leviticus, right? You've been there? And then you're a day behind, 2 days, you're a week behind, and then you just feel bad. You go, I'm not going to go back to it because I feel bad for how far behind I am. You've been there before. There's some deeper ways we do this. Some of you, maybe you started going to counseling, and then it didn't fix you right away, and you're upset about it. And you're going, I'm going through years of hurt that I'm trying to unravel, but it's not changing immediately, so I quit going. Or maybe you prayed for something, and you didn't get the answer you wanted or the result you expected right away, and so you just stopped. Stop praying. And I think that we can sometimes be better quitters than we are stickers. And I think Jesus knows that about us. He knew that about us, that following Him, walking through life in the time between when He was here and when He comes again, there would be moments where it would feel like faith is nothing but work and prayer doesn't work at all. He knew that us following Him during these seasons would be facing moments where we feel like God is just not there. Maybe we feel that He is silent. He knew that we would in those moments begin to lose heart. Here's the thing that I've learned. I've learned that most of us don't quit loudly. We don't make announcements and post, I'm quitting this thing. We quit quietly. What happens is not that we don't believe in God anymore. We just stop believing that some things matter or some things will never change is something that we'll say. And so quietly we begin to just quit trying. And Jesus knows that. And I think that's why He gave us this story in Luke 18. You want to grab your Bible and turn there. Luke chapter 18. It's a really powerful story that Jesus told His disciples. He was talking to them in this moment as we're getting closer to the time where He would be arrested and crucified. And don't forget the end of the story, resurrected, right? But He began preparing them for when He would leave them and the difficulties they would face. He knew there would be moments where the world would reject them and the weight of that would weigh on them. He knew there would be moments where they felt like God had gone silent. Have you ever, just asking, have you ever felt like that, that God has gone silent on you? Bet you have. Like you're praying and maybe your prayers are just bouncing around the room and never breaking through the ceiling. Like God is, it's gone quiet on you. Like you've been ghosted by a person before, but have you ever felt like you're holy ghosted? Right? The bad joke. I was told don't say it. A really bad joke, but it's a really real experience. It's something that I think all of us have experienced. We go, God, where are you in this moment? So today I want to talk to you about what do we do when we don't want to pray anymore, but prayer is the very thing that we need most of all. So Luke chapter 18, verse 1. I love this. The bottom line is up front. Jesus was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray. And this is big, and not lose heart. If you're a note taker, I want you to write this down. And if you're not a note taker, you should just write this down. First thing I want you to make a note of, Jesus says this. He says, the struggle is real. I get it. Okay? The struggle is real, but Jesus says, don't give up. Jesus doesn't want you to give up in the face of it. He doesn't want you to lose heart when life is heavy and when you feel like God has gone quiet. A lot of times when you get to the parables, it's unique. You'll have, you know, at the end, and this is what I meant by this parable. In other moments, he goes, pray about it, and then God will help you to have an understanding. But I love this one because he says, I'm going to tell you up front what I'm doing. Jesus told the story so that they would never stop praying and that they would not lose heart. I realize for us, this is pretty, this can be encouraging because a lot of times I feel like I'm ready for Jesus' rebuke when I have stepped outside of what the Bible's called me to do. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. And I haven't been praying. And I go, oh, God's probably mad at me over this. Now I'm afraid to even go to him in prayer because what do? We go, dear God, I know it's been a while. Sorry about that. But Jesus isn't rebuking. He's getting ahead and saying, I'm preparing you for when you do feel like this. The struggle is real. I want you to know that I know it is real. And when you feel it, don't stop praying. He knew there would be moments in the waiting before he came back when they would be tempted to give up on prayer. There would be moments on mission, not because they quit believing in God, but maybe just because they quit believing that it mattered that they went and talked to God about what they were facing. And the reality is prayer can be a thing that's really easy to start but hard to sustain when we feel like heaven has gone. Someone's pressed the mute button and we're just not hearing anymore, right? And for all of us, that looks a little different. Maybe for some of you, it's a healing that you prayed for, maybe for yourself or for a family member, and the healing didn't come. Or it's a child that has wandered off. They've gone kind of their own way and you've prayed, man. You've logged hours praying, but you don't see them returning to you. Or maybe it's a breakthrough that you needed. You were stuck in sin, stuck in life, stuck in a relationship, and you needed a breakthrough. You needed a direction because you felt like you didn't know which way to go. You needed a provision in your life, and you were getting really desperate, but you weren't seeing it coming. And I got to tell you, church, that's when battle happens, because we have an enemy who loves those moments in our lives because it's so easy for him. He doesn't have to come and destroy us. All he has to do is discourage our faith just a little bit. He doesn't have to cause us to not believe in God. He just has to cause us to quit talking to God about those things. Here's what Peter said. He gave a warning in 1 Peter 5. He said, your adversary, the devil, let's name him, he prowls lion. And you get the image, you get the picture of him not just like jumping in your face, but creeping around looking for someone to devour. And sometimes he's not looking to just devour you in one big bite, but he's going to give a bite that begins to drain you of your belief moment by moment. Because if he can't stop you from believing in the reality of there is a God who made the world, he might just get you to stop believing that that God knows you and is watching over you and cares about the burdens that you're carrying in your life. That's why Paul said in Galatians 6, don't grow weary or lose heart of doing good, because he knows that sometimes what our enemy does, it's a subtle tactic, right? He doesn't just come and jump in our faces. He doesn't try to get us just to act out in some crazy sin. He just gets us to stop sowing into our faith, to quit feeding our faith so that it dies. It starves little by little. And that's true in a lot of areas in our life. The enemy wants us, if we won't act out in some wild way, we'll just quit feeding our life and quit growing and we'll wither away. It happens in relationships. You've seen this. Maybe you've experienced it. Happens in marriages. If I can't get this one or that one to do a thing that would devastate the marriage immediately, then I'll get them to just quit sowing into their marriage so it will die slowly. Jesus knows the tactics of our enemy, so he casts or reframes prayer as something that's not a desperate cry out in the dark of night, but as a habit or a rhythm of faith where we keep going to God, we keep coming to him, and it's stirring in us every time we come to him, a habit of faith that's stirring a belief. And persistent prayer is really what this parable is called. It's the persistent prayer that we're going to learn about. Persistent prayer is not about getting God's attention, like he isn't paying attention. And if you bug him enough, then finally he'll turn his head towards you. But it's about getting your heart and your life, my life, more in line with God's attention and what he is seeking to do. And maybe that's what you need to hear today. Not a new technique for prayer or a new posture for prayer. How should I hold my hands? But instead, just a reminder that prayer itself is faith at work. Praying when I don't feel like it, praying when I feel like it's bouncing off the ceiling, still going to God when I feel like I'm not getting the answers is a habit that is building faith in me. It's a declaration that I'm not going anywhere. God, I believe that you are still there. I'm not getting the answer I want, but I believe that you still care, and I believe, even if I don't have all of the answers yet, that you are still watching over every detail of my life, and that you have goodwill and good desire for me. You are watching over me. And so Jesus knows we're going to struggle with that. That's a hard thing to say when we don't have the answers or we don't have the relief. We're not feeling the desire of our prayer being satisfied in our timeline. Jesus goes, it's going to be hard for you. And instead of giving a lecture, he gave a story. That's verse 2. Here's the story. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. For a while he was unwilling, but afterwards the judge said to himself, he's self-aware. I love this about the judge in the story. Even though I don't fear God and I don't respect man, yet because the widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming to me, she will wear me out. And the Lord said, this is important. Hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now, will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? And he paints the picture of two characters. And one is a judge who is powerful but lacking in any heart, any compassion. And one is a widow who's got all the heart and all the need, but she has no power at all. And in their culture, as these people heard, as the disciples heard this story, they would understand that widows had no protection, they had no legal rights, they had no husband, they had no money to buy a verdict, they had no power, they had no advocate, no attorney to argue their case, they had no reason to be heard at all. That's her situation. And this judge, can we agree, he's like just the worst. Like the narrator, Jesus says, he is, you know, a person who has no fear of God and no love of man. And the guy goes, yep, I have no fear of God. I have no love of man. Don't care at all. I'm corrupt. He's corrupt. He's self-absorbed, and he only acts when it is good or best for him. In fact, it says that he doesn't finally give in because suddenly his heart grew three times that day like the Grinch. It says that he gave in because he was worn out by this persistent woman. Verse 5, he says, she will wear me out. And it literally translates as, she's beating me black and blue. Like, I'm getting black eyes and a bloody face. I'm getting destroyed by this woman. She's relentless and I'm whooped. I give up. In verse 6, it's really important. Hear this. Jesus said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. He's not saying, be like the widow and bug God until he breaks. He's saying, listen very carefully to what the unrighteous judge says, because I'm going to tell you that God is nothing like this. And sometimes you might have a mindset that if I just go after God, finally he will give in and give me what I need like this guy. And he goes, no, that's not what God is like. God is like a father who loves to pour out blessing on his children. So if you're a note taker, write this down. God is not like this judge. Too many of us are approaching God like he is this judge. He's not like this judge. Jesus says, so keep coming to him. Not like the widow goes to the judge to beat him into submission, but because God is not like this judge, that's why you keep going to him. Hear this. You are not a nuisance in a judge's courtroom with God. You are a child being welcomed in to the living room of your Father. Hebrews 4 says this. Let us approach the throne of grace, not with trembling, not with fear, not with a strategy to get him on my side, but let us approach the throne of grace, grace with confidence. You're not going to convince him to care. You're going to someone who already cares. It's the promise of Scripture. 1 Peter 5 says, cast all, not some, not a few, not one, all of your cares, every burden that you carry, cast them, throw them as far away from you as you can onto the Lord. Why? Because he cares for you. I talked to the students about that verse earlier this year, and I won't do this here. I've already got a thing. I climbed up on a speaker, really dumb move, but you do dumb things sometimes. Climbed up on a speaker, and I was talking about when I taught my kids to swim. And how many of you remember either being taught to swim or teaching a kid to swim? Do you remember that? You put your kid on the side, and you get down in the water. What you don't do is say, hey, dummy, jump in the water. It's fine. What you do, well, some of you do, and I'm not mean, I am judging you. Judgment upon you. What you do is you get in the water in front of them and you say, you can jump now. I've got you, right? That's what we do as parents. Cast all your cares upon the Lord because he says, I'm here. I care for you. You're not convincing him to care. He's already there with his arms open saying, cast your cares on me. I care for you. You're not praying with persistence to twist his arm. You're praying with persistence to begin trusting his heart. Matthew 7, Jesus said, ask, seek, knock, and you will find. And he talks about how even like an evil person, kind of like this judge, will eventually give what is okay. How much more will your Father who's in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? It's the promise of Jesus. You got to understand this. He's not reluctant to give to you. He's righteous. He's ready to give to you. Listen to Isaiah 30. The Lord longs. He loves this and he desires, he yearns for this. He longs to be gracious to you. Isn't that awesome? What does the Lord long for? He's the Lord. He has everything. The Lord longs to pour out grace over you. Therefore, he will rise up to show you compassion. One more. Psalm 34 says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are attentive to their cry. He's not annoyed by your persistent prayers. He's attentive. Promise of Scripture, he's attentive to your cries. God's not distant. You maybe have moments where you go, I don't know where the Lord is. I don't feel like he's listening. I don't feel like he's near. Promise of the Bible is he's not distant. He is near. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call on him in truth. He's not reluctant. He's ready. He's not annoyed. He is attentive to you. It is consistently stated throughout the Scriptures. It is the promise of God. I am paying attention to every detail of your life. In every moment, in everything that you face, in every worry that you carry, my eyes are upon you, and I long to pour out grace. So Jesus is saying, when you feel like losing heart, like giving up, press in and keep showing up. Keep showing up. When you begin to believe like nothing's happening, I need you to step in faith. Believe that something is happening. Why? Well, because the story doesn't end with a judge who is coerced or is beaten up until he gives. It ends with a question. There's a father who gives, who is not like the judge at all. And the question here is this. Look at verse 7. Will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? And then he answers, I tell you, he will. He will bring about justice for them quickly. However, another question, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? When he comes, he's not asking, will God meet your every need? He's already settled it. He will pour out grace upon you. He will be quick to perform justice upon you. The question is, will you, when you're losing heart, press on and continue to believe it? If you're a note taker, write this down. Faith is the real issue of this parable. It's through the lens of prayer, but faith is really what Jesus is talking about here. And I know it sounds so simple, but Jesus says, I'm calling you to keep believing when you're tempted to lose heart. Faith is what the parable is about. Persistent prayer, going again and again, is not the end in itself. It is the means. It's how faith is formed and grows up in our lives. When we keep going to God when we don't feel like it, when we keep going and we don't yet have the answers, but instead of fading away and giving up, we go, God, I declare I am still here. I am still coming and I am still depending upon you. I will wait upon you because there is no other thing for me. I won't give up, but I will instead grow up in this moment. Have any of you ever had bamboo trees in your yard? I had bamboo trees in the first house we bought. It was in Midlothian, Texas. About almost 20 years ago, we bought a house and there were bamboo trees in the backyard. They were big and they were obscene. So, and I was young, we had the internet. I'm not that old, teenagers, but like, it was in its rudimentary forms still a little bit. It wasn't in my pocket. So I just cut them off at the ground, and I discovered very quickly that didn't matter to bamboo trees. So I began to dig, and what I discovered was an incredible root system that took forever to deal with. And here's the thing about bamboo trees. They are the fastest growing plants on the planet. But the amazing thing is if you go to plant bamboo trees, you need to understand when you put seed in the ground, in some species of these trees, it may take 3 to 7 years for anything to ever break ground. And in some species, up to 10 years of watering, of fertilizing, of waiting and waiting year after year with nothing breaking ground. But during that time, there is a root structure that is growing, that is preparing for the fruit that's about to burst forth. When it does break ground, did you know a bamboo tree can grow 1.5 inches per hour? Yeah, think about that. You're sitting 10 years on flat ground, watering it, fertilizing it, and just hoping against hope. But then one day there's a little shoot, and hour by hour, 1.5 inches, 3 feet can happen in a day. And in America, the bamboos that we have here go up to about 40 feet in some countries, well over 100 feet tall bamboo trees. Their growth happens in 2 months after years and years of sitting and watering and waiting. It didn't grow in the air first, right? But it was growing underground first. And I think that's what persistent prayer is doing in us. I really do. I think it may look at times like nothing is happening, but something is happening. It's happening beneath the surface. It's happening beneath the waiting. Persistent prayer is the place where God is building a root system in us to sustain what he's about to do. And that's why Paul says in Colossians 2, 6 and 7, he says this, in the same way that you were called unto Christ, so continue to walk in him, being what? Rooted and built up and established in the faith. God is growing something during your persistent prayers, even when you can't see it. And I think that it's a shift for us because we're looking for fruit. Every time we pray, we're going, just give me the fruit, while God is going, I am preparing the roots for the fruit that is to come. We're looking for visible signs of answered prayers while he is working steadily and faithfully on the invisible things. And I'm stuck going, God, what's next? What's next? And God's going, I'm working on what's beneath right now. You're not ready for what's next. If we shot up 100 feet in the air, it would fall down quickly because you don't have a root system underneath it to support the work that I'm about to do in your life. And for some of us, that's the hardest part. It's the waiting. I've waited on things. I have things I'm waiting on now that I've been praying for years, and I don't have an answer to it. And there are moments, a lot of them, not a few of them, where I'm losing heart and going, this will never change. I don't expect it to ever change. And you've done this. You've prayed. You have watered the seed. You have shown up again and again in that field, and you've said, is this the day that it breaks ground? And it hasn't been today. And you go, maybe my seed was bad. Maybe I got bad seed, or maybe God is skipping my field. I want you to hear this. I hope you can. That God's delays are not the same as God's denials. They're not the same thing. God's delays are not the same as his denials. God's not ignoring you. He's preparing you. And sometimes that preparation is him changing, transforming some things under the surface. Sometimes it's building a root structure that can sustain the growth. Sometimes it's changing what you're asking for, even because what you don't know is the thing God wants for you is better than the thing that you're asking for already. And so maybe in that time of waiting, what he's doing is building a system that can sustain what will happen when he breaks ground in your life with his works. 2 Peter 3 talks about a time of waiting. Jesus is talking about all, or Peter's writing about all the time while we're waiting on Jesus's return. Right? This is a long time ago, right? And Peter's saying there's gonna be a long time where you're gonna wonder, where is God? What is he doing? You might be tempted to lose heart. This is what's happening. 2 Peter 3, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness. He's patient. He's just more patient than we are, right? God's not slow in fulfilling his promises. He is wise and he is patient toward you. Why? He's not wishing for any to perish, but for all to turn to him, to come home. So sometimes what feels like silence in our lives is actually God's strategy and his compassion at work in our life. You're not ready for the groundbreaking yet. You think you are, but if it broke ground right now, it would not be sustained. He's working patiently under the ground in your life. He's not withholding. He is working. He's not late. He's aligning. He's inviting you not to turn his heart, but to trust his heart. Sometimes God is just doing something in us before he's going to do something for us or through us. And you think about we have the bamboo trees, but you think about like David, 15 years between anointing and crowning. You know, I think about Joseph, 22 years before I have a dream, and the dream is clear, this is what it means, and the fulfillment of that dream. You know, Jesus was born into a virgin, he came into the earth, but 30 years before he went public with his power and his identity and began to create redemption, and the plan to come home to God became known to men. Paul, he was blinded on the road to Damascus 3 years, though, before he went and talked to people about it and began his ministry. God is doing something in those times. The problem is for us, and I know this, waiting's hard, and we grow really, really weary in our waiting, don't we? But I also know this, the Bible promises this in Isaiah 40. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Okay? It's not buck up, buttercup, get tougher. You got to wait and in your strength, persevere and endure. It says those who wait on the Lord, those who wait with the Lord, those who wait depending upon the Lord, he promises to renew your, to make your strength new and better than it was before, because now you're not depending on yourself, you're depending on him. So waiting on the Lord isn't wasting time, it's workout time. It's going to the gym and getting strong. You know, Philippians calls us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. If you don't work it out, it atrophies, right? Muscles, if you don't use them, they atrophy. Your faith, if you don't work it out, you're not going to have a faith that endures and can handle the breakthrough of God in your life. Waiting on the Lord is not wasting time. It is, if you're depending upon him, it is workout time. And that's why Jesus says, or Luke writes it, he told the parable. Why? Because he wanted them to pray at all times and not to lose heart. Now, I'm trying to think about different responses we might have to a parable like this, because it's pretty simple. I don't have to spend any more time explaining it, but I do want to prod at the different reactions we could have to it. And there probably are more, but I thought of at least four reactions that we in this room could have to a parable like this. One of the reactions, some of you could be in the middle of it right now. You have been planting, you have been watering, you have been fertilizing, you have been showing up again and again, and you're not getting answers, and you are starting to grow weary, and you are starting to lose heart. It's one group of people. And to you, I'd say if you're praying and trying to be faithful, I want you to understand the heart of Jesus and the message here. He sees you. You are not forgotten. God is not like the corrupt judge who you've got to bang on his door until he gives up and says, fine, you've beaten me. He says he's the exact opposite. He's like a father who loves to pour out grace over his chosen children, and he will perform justice in your life. He will. So just keep coming to the throne room of grace. You might feel like you're buried under the weight of it all, but it could be that you're just being planted as a seed and that he's doing something under the surface before there's a breakthrough. Could be another reaction. Some of you could have quietly given up already, you know. You didn't make an announcement. You didn't say, hey, Facebook, here's the thing. I've given up on prayer totally. I'm exhausted. I haven't had a breakthrough. I asked for this thing. God didn't give it to me. I'm done. But instead, what happened is you still believe in God, but you have stopped believing that prayer matters and stopped expecting change. And so you have just quit going to him and asking. And this is my prayer. Simply the fact that you were in this room, that it wasn't an accident, and that we were preaching this parable, that it was not an accident. But today would be the day the Holy Spirit would say, do you hear what the Lord has for you? I'm just inviting you to start asking again. Return to the Lord. Draw near to him, and he'll draw near to you. Don't let disappointment be the last word in your life. Wouldn't that be a bad word on your story? Disappointment was my end. But instead, let faith be the last word in your story. For those of you who have already given up quietly. Some of you might be mad at God, though. I realize that. I've been mad at God. Not once. I mean, I've had anger toward the Lord plenty of times. God, why didn't you act in this way? Why didn't you give me this? Why did I end up in this situation? They're mad at God. Guess what? So did most of the authors of the New Testament. You read the Psalms, you read the prophets. There's a lot of people going to God in anger. Did you know that God can handle you going to him with your anger? Did you know that God designed you with the ability to have anger? And every emotion that you've ever felt, God gave you the ability to have that emotion. And why? So that we could be creatures of emotion in the world? No, so that we could take every emotion that stimulates our mind and our heart and our body to the Lord as an invitation for him to work in our souls in those things. God can handle your anger. He can handle your disappointment. He is big enough and not frail enough to feign or run away whenever you bring your anger to him. You see it in the Psalms. There are all of these people who are wrestling with God and at the same time worshiping God. Two things existing in the same time in a believer. Can you understand that? We're complex creatures. To be angry is not to sin. To be angry and to use it towards sin, to drive away from God or to hurt others with it, that's the problem. Take the anger, turn it to the Lord, and invite him to, God, you do something with this. That's the invitation. Come to God. You don't have to clean it up. If you're mad at God, go tell him, I'm mad at you right now. And I don't know what to do about that. But I trust your care. I trust that you long to pour out grace over me. So you do something about it. I'm here waiting. Don't grow distant. Don't quit going to him because you're mad. And one more reaction. Probably there's some folks here, you're new to praying. You haven't had much of a history of talking with God, and so you haven't had much of a history of waiting on God. Newsflash, it's going to happen. There will be moments in your life, throughout your life, where you're going to be praying for a thing and you don't get an immediate response, and you begin to wonder, is my prayer getting through? Is God there? Does he care? Is he listening? Good news is this, the same God who is nothing at all like the judge in the parable is the God who is watching over every detail of your life. He is there. He cares. He is attentive to your cries, and he is quick to perform justice. Might seem slow, but it might just be his patience while he is building up a root system for a breakthrough in your life. He's personal, and he may be teaching you to trust him in the waiting. And if you're here and you're in the middle, if you have already kind of walked away from prayer, from talking with God, communing with God about all of the burdens of life, if you are mad at him or if you are new to this, I want you to know that he is always faithful, and he is never wasting a moment. There is no wasting with God. If you are depending on the God, he is shaping you in the waiting. He is growing something under the ground. Jesus ends with the question, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? That's a pretty powerful question. When he returns, could be a blink of an eye. It could be before I finish this sentence. That would have been fun. That would have been cool. Before I finish this sentence. You know. It could be this afternoon. It could be 1,000 years. When he returns, will he find us still believing? Will he find us still praying when we haven't received the answers yet? Will he find us still trusting him when the timing seems all off to us? Will he find us still showing up when it would be easier for us just to turn and go our own way? I need you to hear, praying persistently isn't about wearing God down. It is about building up our faith in him. That's what happens when we keep going to him. It's not what simply faith looks like. It's how faith lasts. And so maybe this morning, what you need to hear is this. God is not like the judge. Take this home. He is a righteous and ready father who loves to hear the cries of his children. He delights in hearing your voice coming to him. And maybe you need to walk away with that. Some of you, what you might need to walk away with is when you feel like nothing is happening, keep believing that something is happening. It might just be under the surface. It might be the support system for the thing that God is about to do. And all of us need to hear this. We endure, we persist because Jesus did it first. He came for us. He persisted in a broken world when he deserved all glory. He endured to the point of death and death on a cross. And he rose and he continues to advocate and to look over and watch over us. We persist because we are saved and loved and cared for by the persisting one. When he returns, what will he find? Will he find those who started in the faith? Or let's be those who have stuck with the faith, who continue going to him. And may you experience delight in doing so. Can I pray for you? Jesus, we thank you for this parable. It's a character study on the nature of our Heavenly Father. It's a character study on the nature of our weariness when we carry our own burdens and our propensity to lose heart. And it is a call to lean in rather than lean back in every one of those moments. And I pray this, I pray for Legacy Church, that this week, Holy Spirit, would you stir in us a desire to speak more with you, to talk with you more, to meet with you in the Word more. And as we do, would you reward us simply with an awareness of your presence, that you are near to us. And I pray for those who today carry anger into that first prayer. Maybe they haven't prayed for a week or a month or a year or much longer. I pray that that first prayer, with all the awkwardness we could bring to it, that they would know that you would bring comfort to them, that there's no awkwardness on your part. There's delight. One you have made for yourself and you have called into yourself has turned to you. May they know your delight and your joy as they come. And for the many burdens we carry, would you teach our hearts again and again to lay them at your feet? Would you help us to trust the work that you are doing? The things that we can't see doesn't mean that they're not heard. So help us to be a praying people. Not that we've checked a box to prove ourselves, but that we commune with the Father who loves us, who made us for himself, and a King who's returning for us. And may you find in us not just starters, but stickers of the faith. In Jesus' name, amen.